Good morning, and welcome to St. John's on this Easter Sunday morning as we come celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A special welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream. It is always a pleasure to welcome you in worship each week. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. I would invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead.
God has claimed us as his own.
He has brought us out of darkness. He has made us light to the world.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
As we enter into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign to us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and all of the world's darkness cannot put him out. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you broke the power of death and opened the way to eternal life. As the empty tomb stands witness to his triumph over death, make your church to be a bold testimony to his enduring victory in life, that all we do may proclaim to the world, he is risen indeed. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. Our triumph, holy day.
Friends, God has opened to us the gates of righteousness that we may enter into them. Confident in God's love, let us confess our sin as we join our voices in the prayer as it appears before you on the screens. Like the women who came to your tomb as the first day of the week was dawning and found the tomb empty, we have such good news to tell. For you, Lord, have cast off your grave clothes and shattered the powers of sin and death. But we have heard this news before. How often have we let our alleluias fall silent as we passed through the church doors? How often have we returned to daily routines as if Easter changes nothing? How often have our actions belied the power of resurrection to transform our world? Risen Lord, forgive us for our half-hearted witness. Free us from the bindings of fear or indifference, disappointment or disenchantment. Fill us with the light of resurrection and send us into the world to proclaim in word and deed that we have seen the Lord. Amen. Listen, O church, and hear the good news. God, who raised Jesus from the dead, has not given us over to death. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as God has forgiven us, he also encourages us to be forgiving one of another. As we come before God this morning, let us share a sign of the peace of Christ, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. I danced in the morning when the world was begun. Hymn 250 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screens.
You may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Please be seated, and I would invite all the young people to come forward for just a moment. I have something to share with them this morning. Come and have a seat. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. Remind me of your name again. Leah? Leah and? Emilio. And? Galiana? Aliana. Nice to have you all here this morning. I brought something this morning. What do you think it might be? I'll give you a hint. What do you think? It's Easter. Ah, there we go. It's an Easter egg. But not any Easter egg. For those who are a little bit further back, you can see this blue one on the screen and one other. It's a special Easter egg. Where do you think this egg comes from? Do you know, Emilio?
Easterland.
Easterland.
Somebody that painted the egg for Easter.
That's right. This is a Ukrainian Easter egg. Don't think we have any Ukrainian. Do we have any Ukrainians in the congregation? People of, hey, Michael. Good. A Ukrainian Easter egg. Now, I'm going to be honest. This is not a real egg. It's wooden. And there's a reason that it's wooden. We could have bought real Ukrainian Easter eggs, but we were traveling on the train when we stopped in Saskatoon to visit some friends and to, amongst other things, we went to the Ukrainian Heritage Museum on Saskatoon Drive in Saskatoon. If you're ever in Saskatoon, go to the Ukrainian Heritage Museum. But we were there, and since we were traveling, the wooden ones just seem to be the much better option. But you're right. Somebody painted these. It's a tradition within the Ukrainian church to paint these intricate eggs. And it's a very long and very careful process. Yeah? That's right, and that's why we didn't buy the real ones when we were traveling, because it would be very fragile. And every time you see a different color on the eggs, there or here, that means that somebody had to stop and they covered all the rest of the egg in wax so that they could dye it one color. And then they would take the egg out of the dye. They would melt all of the wax off. They would apply new wax on, dye it again, and repeat that process over and over and over. So it's a real labor of love. And on this, there are signs of new life. There's a wheat stalk growing there. There's a butterfly over here. And then there's other things that just add to the decoration. So that's, but this is an important way that people in the Ukrainian church celebrate Easter, is with the decorating and then the displaying of these Ukrainian Easter eggs. And all of them have these symbols that remind us of new life and of our faith in Jesus. So I wanted to share that with you this morning. Now, we do have Sunday school downstairs this morning. Ah, you got a chicken this morning. And you got a bunny. Oh, dear. You're going to have fun downstairs. We do have Sunday school downstairs if you want to go with Trish, or else you can return to your seats. And if you come and see me after this morning, I have something else for the young people. So goodbye. We'll see you all later. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the power of your Spirit, roll away the stone from our hearts that we may hear your word of life today and experience it anew. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God knows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism of John announced how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
And reading from chapter 3 of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And reading selected verses from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our hymn is number 249 in the Book of Praise, The Day of Resurrection, hymn 249, or as it appears before you on the screens. Once more, let us listen for God's word as it has been given to us in the Gospel of Matthew. It's always hard to figure out from Matthew's Gospel where to start the Gospel reading. Screen says verse 28, and I will get, or chapter 28, verse 1, and I will get there, Alex, bear with me. But I'm going to start at chapter 27, verse 62. For those of you who were here on Good Friday, this was the last of the Good Friday readings. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him and say that he has been risen. And the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Make it as secure as you can." And so they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. And continuing to read from chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Come and see where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. After that, the minister's supposed to preach. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends in Christ, I have so much to say to you this morning. Throughout my many years in ministry, I've worked in congregations, all of which had various traditions around Easter morning. Several had sunrise services in addition to the regular worship. One even met in the cemetery. All have had soaring music to fit the occasion. One even had liturgical dance provided by the young girls of the congregation. And in some, Easter is a communion Sunday. But as I sat this week sharpening my pencil for this morning's sermon, I was reminded of the words of my late father-in-law, the Reverend Richard Galanders, who noted that he preferred to not have communion on Easter Sunday because there was so much that needed to be said in the sermon. And usually when we have communion, the sermons are shortened. So he liked to preach. And this is certainly the case this morning. As we hear once more the story of the resurrection as it is recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's story of the resurrection begins with the hint of a controversy. As guards are posted outside of the tomb, just in case. Matthew draws our attention to the paroxysm of nature and as the two planes of existence, heaven and earth, collide with this colossal earthquake and thunder and the flash of angel wings like lightning. And then, of course, there is the declaration of the resurrection by the angel. Do not be afraid, for I know that the one that you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified, is not here. For he has been raised, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. There is also then the mission of the church. The angels continue, then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he's going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. This is my message to you, says the angel. And finally, Jesus himself appears to the two women and they worship him. Each of the gospel writers, all four of them, chooses to focus on particular bits of the Easter story in their gospels. But there is one thing that is universal across all four gospels in the New Testament. To use the phraseology that we heard in Matthew, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. As the story of that first Easter morning opens, everyone there is expecting death. Everyone is there to make sure that Jesus is really dead. The guards were there to protect the tomb from Jesus' disciples, or maybe something else. They were there because the Pharisees feared that the disciples might steal the body, and yet the words of Pilate are more telling than perhaps even Pilate knew when he spoke them. When Pilate says to the chief priests to use their own guards, and these words, make it as secure as you can. Almost sounds like a dare, doesn't it? And yes, even the women in Matthew's story, as they come to the tomb, were coming to sit by the tomb to ensure that Jesus had not been buried prematurely. In ancient Israel, it seems apparently that following death, the family of the deceased would keep vigil outside of the tomb for the first 3 days to ensure that their loved one had not been put into the tomb alive. So the women come to make sure that Jesus is really dead. And it is into the midst of this expectation of death that God bursts in. In the Greek, it's the same word, earth shake, guards shake. All those things that we would deem as being most certain and unmovable are in this moment in the story shaken to their very core as the third pillar of certainty in the text. Death is toppled before their very eyes. But the women with courage do not fall to the ground or lose their senses as the guards did, but they are beckoned to come inside to see the empty tomb just as Jesus had said, and to be given their mission to go and tell. And then as they leave that place with fear and great joy, they are greeted by the risen Lord and they worship him. But what is most remarkable about the entire Easter story is that it is women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who are the witnesses to the world of the resurrection of the risen Lord. It is these two women who go to the tomb. And it is these two women who tell the disciples that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and that they have seen him, and that he will meet them in Galilee. In the patriarchal society of ancient Israel, women were not dependable witnesses. They were too light to be dependable. And yet, here in the gospel story of the resurrection, in every gospel story of the resurrection, it is the women who come to the tomb first. And it is the women who are sent out to tell others. This one fact should startle us. As Carolyn Osiak, the former professor of New Testament at Catholic Theological Union in Chicago, so aptly asks in an article in its very title, "Women at the Tomb, What Are They Doing There?" I guess it depends where you put the emphasis, but you see the question. Osiak argues in that article that the fact that this strange historical fact remains in the gospel story and in all of the gospel stories, that it was the women who were first confronted with the reality of the resurrection at the tomb of Jesus, testifies to the power of their testimony. That this story existed first on the margins of the Christian tradition, but it was so strong in the tradition, so well known that this story of the church could not be denied, but had to be included in the gospel message, that it was women who went to the tomb first. And indeed, I would argue this morning, it is only to the women that the resurrection of Jesus Christ could be revealed. Throughout Matthew's gospel, as we've been moving to this point, it is the women who perceive Jesus' mission while the male disciples struggle to get it right. Those of you who are married may go, well, that makes sense. It was a woman who anointed Jesus' feet at the home of Simon the leper just a week before the crucifixion. And while the disciples stood around arguing about the waste of money that it was to use this costly perfume for such a frivolous purpose, Jesus notes that she has anointed his body for burial, and that that act will ensure that she will be remembered through all of history in memory of her. It was Mary Magdalene and this other Mary who walked with Jesus that final journey from the cross to the tomb and who sat quiet vigil there as the tomb was sealed. It was the women in the court of the chief priests who identified Peter as being a Galilean and probably someone who was a follower of Jesus, while Peter denied that he even knew him. And even Pilate's wife, if you can remember from Good Friday, even Pilate's wife offered her warning to Pilate as he sat in judgment over Jesus, that she had had a dream and that he should have nothing to do with the accusations against that man. And here this morning, while the knees of the soldiers shake and buckle with fear as they stand in this thin place where heaven and earth, life and death meet, the women stand firm. It is only the women who can bear witness to the resurrection, because it is only the women who are not bound to the structures of their world, its wealth, its prestige, its power. And their witness is a reminder to us that it is to the powerless and the oppressed, to those outside of the structures of society, that Jesus has come, for whom Jesus has died, and for whom Jesus has been raised from the dead. It is then an oddity that the church, built on the resurrection witness of women, has in recent months and years been so active in attempting to turn back the clock and reject women in its presence. Just a couple of weeks ago, Dame Sarah Mullally was installed as the Archbishop of Canterbury in a great high ceremony in that ancient cathedral, the first woman to hold the office in 1,500 years. And yet there are those within the Anglican Communion who are seeking to divide that branch of the Christian church because it is headed now by a woman. In her prayers following her installation, Archbishop Mullally prayed for the victims of abuse within the church. In stark contrast to her predecessor, who was forced to step down when it was revealed that he had moved priests accused of sexual assault around to other parishes rather than taking the witness of their accusers seriously. Or maybe, perhaps, just perhaps, you've heard of a gentleman by the name of the Reverend Doug Wilson. He is a prominent pastor in the Christian nationalist movement in the United States who, amongst other things, has argued that slavery is sanctioned by Scripture and so there's nothing wrong with it, and that women should not have the right to vote, again citing Scripture and rendering them into second-class people. The tendency is great in society and in the church for those who are in positions of authority to claim power. And yet, if we are to take this morning's gospel lesson seriously, part of God's great plan of salvation includes the overturning of the tables of the rich and the powerful and the inclusion of the poor and the meek and those who others look on as having no power and no place, and welcoming them as part of the kingdom of God and building the kingdom of God on the testimony of these two women. That is for us the lesson this morning, that Jesus has come to speak to the least of us, to the weakest of us, and to challenge those who are not in that that camp, to take more seriously our calling to be God's hands and God's feet in the world, to proclaim the resurrection of our Lord in the year of the Lord's coming, to bless those who are in need of a blessing from the Lord. And all of this we know because of the courage of the women. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning will appear before you on the screens. It is a compilation of scripture. This is the good news. We will say this together. This is the good news that we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved if we hold fast. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared first to the women, then to Peter, and to the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Amen. Welcome to all who have come this day to hear the good news of Christ's resurrection. We're pleased that you have found your way here into worship this morning. There is a time of fellowship following the worship in the McClellan Room right at the back of the sanctuary, and we would be honored if you would stay and share a time of fellowship and refreshment. A special welcome to all of our guest musicians this morning, and a thank you to Sebastian Abernathy, the organist, Emma Yee, and Cody Pisner, who are our extra choristers, and to trumpeter Kate Miller, of course, who joins us again. We are most grateful for their contributions in worship this morning. As we move into the last section of worship and the kind of those things that we sing every week, they've changed because, of course, we have entered into the season of Easter. So there will be a new doxology at the end of the offering, and there will be a new choral closing this morning. The choral closing we will sing through twice. The choir will sing it once, and then you are invited to sing along. It's easy. It's catchy. You'll enjoy it. And finally, on behalf of your staff team, we wish you a happy Easter. After this busy weekend, the office will be closed tomorrow, but we will be here again on Tuesday at 9. Friends, God has given us life in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In gratitude, let us offer our hearts and the fruit of our labor to God's service, as we present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Great God, to you we give our thanks. Your steadfast love endures forever. With gratitude we bring our gifts to you. Bless us and these gifts, that our lives and our resources may be a source of healing and hope, of joy and justice in your world. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, giver of life and giver of new life through Jesus Christ, we offer our prayers this day through Christ who lives and reigns forever and intercedes on our behalf before your throne in heaven. Through Christ, we pray for the church. Form us as your people and fill us with joy, that we may be a living witnesses to the power of the resurrection and the good news of your grace and peace. Through Christ, we pray for the earth. You created the universe and called it good. Yet we acknowledge how we have polluted and exploited your good earth. From the dust of the damaged earth, we pray that you will raise up your new creation, full of beauty, wonder, and glory. Through Christ, we pray for all the nations. Let the message of your saving power spread throughout the world, that the dominion of death may be no more, and that we may learn your ways of peace. Through Christ, we pray for this community. Let the doors of this church be open wide as we go forth in love and service, walking with all your children in times of sorrow and need. Let the doors of this church be open wide that we may be a welcoming community, welcoming in others who come to find a home. Through Jesus Christ, we pray for loved ones. Give hope to those who wait for good news. Turn their mourning into dancing and their sorrow into joy. God of all power and glory, receive these prayers and continue your mighty work among us through Jesus Christ, our living Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing hymn is number 258 in the Book of Praise. Thine be the glory. Hymn 258 in the Book of Praise. And now let us receive the good news that Christ is risen from the dead. Tell the good news. The power of death shall no more oppress us. Live the good news. We are free to love as he has loved us. And may God, who raised Jesus from the dead, bless you, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, raise you with him in glory. Amen.